All right, well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to go into the message. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 11. Two places, because we're going to go from one scripture straight to the other. Matthew 5, and we have been in the Beatitudes. How many of you have enjoyed hearing the words of Jesus and working through that? Amen. And so Matthew 5, it is the Beatitudes. It is the Sermon on the Mount. Some would say it's the greatest sermon ever preached. I would full-heartedly agree. And if you can take a moment and just take some time, I would encourage you throughout the week, take some time to reflect, to read through this, and allow Jesus to speak to you and really look into it. Because I've been saying this over the past few weeks, and this is my hope, that as we have worked our way through the Beatitudes, is that we would have a greater glimpse of his heart for us. How many of you know Jesus is truth? Amen. And so whenever Jesus speaks, it is true, and it is his heart. And so as we're talking through the Beatitudes, we're talking through the very words of Jesus, we have an open invitation into his heart. Everybody say his heart. This isn't just morality. How many of you know Scripture can quickly become a book of morals if Jesus is not present? And this is so much more than morals. This is so much more than a story. This is his very heart. And when his word is released, especially in gatherings like this, when we come together to receive his word is released. He is revealing his heart to us. Amen. And so I want us to go beyond just hearing this is how we should live as believers. I want us to recognize this is who Jesus is. And so when he says, blessed are the merciful, how many of you know Jesus is mercy? You know, when we look at the Ten Commandments, you know, sometimes we think, well, God just gives us a bunch of rules that we have to live by. But how many of you know that couldn't be further from the truth? When Jesus says, thou shalt not commit adultery, he's not just giving us laws and rules. He's saying, that's who I am. I will never cheat on you. I will never betray you. And so all of Scripture is an invitation into who he is, his heart for you. And so as we approach the Beatitudes, it is the front door of his heart opening, and it's a wonderful invitation into the depths of the heart of God. Amen? And so I want to read Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And let me read this to you. It says, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's read verse 9 together out loud. Ready, go. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 1. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, as Jesus was praying, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, our Father. Everybody say, our Father. The moment that Jesus says, our Father, how many of you know he is speaking to the fact that God values us? Now, many of us have an okay time understanding that he values you. But how many of you know he also values us? He values the collective body of Christ. He values the church. He values the times that we come together. When we give praise and worship to him, when we dwell together in unity. And so the moment it's our Father, it speaks to the fact that God values us. How many of you know Jesus is the head of the church? Amen. He's not just the head of you. He's the head of the church. And so if we find unity in Jesus, the way God blesses you blesses me. The way he uses you edifies me. At least it should. If we find unity in Jesus, your breakthrough becomes my breakthrough. And so we should care as a family, as a church body, we should care how we are doing, how one another is doing, how the person to your left and to the right are doing. And so there is this blessed ability of peacemaking. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And so what does this have to do with peacemaking? The moment other people get involved, how many of you know, issues arise. As soon as you start working with other people, there's issues. Let me go a step further. Even if other people aren't involved and it's just you, there's issues, right? If you're like me, you can sit alone in a room and it's all of a sudden, there's issues, right? Like there's stuff. And so there is this blessed ability that Jesus is talking about of peacemaking, not division making. And so in order to have peace, we must know how to make peace. And when you are able to make peace, you become what the Bible calls is a peacemaker, and you gain the reputation of being a child of God. Amen. Let me read to you Proverbs 17, verse 5, and we're going to have this on screen, but if you're taking notes, you can write this down. But Proverbs 17, 5 says, he who mocks the poor reproaches his maker. Notice this last part. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. And so when your enemy suffers, those who have wronged you, those who have offended you, those who have hurt you, those who speak negatively about you, the Bible is saying, when your enemy suffers, do not celebrate that. That should not bring joy to your heart. Do not judge and rejoice when a person gets exposed and falls in their face. We hear it in the news all the time. We hear about pastors and preachers. And if it's someone that you don't like, when they fall, you say, I see, I knew it. How many of you know that's not the Lord? That's not peacemaking. That's division making. I heard a pastor say, it's only when I get down to wash another's feet that I get to know why they walk the way they do. See, if you're going to criticize, try washing their feet first. Because it's then that you may know why they have calluses the way they do. You see, when your enemy suffers, the Bible says, do not take joy in that. Do not celebrate that. Do not take pleasure in that, because it will not go unpunished. How many of you know believers can bring unnecessary judgment on themselves? It's not God's best for you. It's not what God wants for you. He's not causing it. But because your heart is not matched with his, you allow for curses, division, judgment to come into your life. And so the Bible says this will not go unpunished. And this is the opposite of being a peacemaker. So may we never celebrate another's tragedy. Somebody say amen. Now listen to Luke 12:57. It says, yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him. What is the Lord saying? He's saying, when you have division or there is a quarrel among you, before you bring it to other people, get it settled. Do everything you can to take care of it. Make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. Notice, why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? In other words, if you have an issue with someone, take care of it with that person. Don't go to other people. Don't try to bring all these people on board. No, bring it to the person. How many of you know you cannot get God's breakthrough in your life without God's process? So many of us are praying for breakthrough. We're praying for relationships to be restored. How many unbroken relationships exist in the church? It's unnecessary. And yet we try to bring restoration without doing what God has asked us to do. And because we're not submitted to his process, we don't see that healing and reconciliation ever take place. And so we cannot have God's breakthrough without his process. I said we can't have God's breakthrough without his process. And how many times do we as believers say, well, I don't actually have to go to the person. Like, it would make more sense for me to, you know, talk to somebody else about this first. But what did God say? Do you really want to have reconciliation with other people? Or are you just wanting to be right? Because that's not peacemaking. That's division making. Did you know that you can actually say, I'm sorry, and actually believe that you did nothing wrong? Did you know that? We can't have breakthrough without God's process. And a big issue today is that we're more comfortable with posting than confronting. But that's not scripture. And so we bring others into it. We get other people dirty, you could say. And the devil starts to get involved, and now God's process has been uprooted. And we ask, why did God let this happen? Why did God allow for there to be division among me and those in the church? Why did God allow for there to be division between me and my family? How many of you know it wasn't the Lord? We just didn't follow his process. We didn't do it his way. You see, when we do it according to his word, everybody say his word. When we go about it according to his word, we build a framework for the life of God to flow in our lives. Somebody say amen. Now, there is never a need for a peacemaker if there is not the presence of an issue. But we've been over that. We don't even need other people. There will be issues. But let me just say this, if we can go through life and carry enough of his presence and we have enough of his word in us, people will come to you for peace. People will ask you to walk with them into a place of healing in specific areas of life. Why? Because of your peacemaking. It is a God-given ability. It is a blessed life. Those who can make peace and not cause division are blessed by God. They have a reputation, and they are known as children of God. And so because of your peacemaking, people will know you have a Father in heaven. Amen. Listen to Romans 14, 19. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Let me read it again. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Let me give you just a few things that make peace. promoting someone above yourself, praising someone for how the Lord is using them in their life, celebrating other people's victories and blessings, praying for your enemies, and blessing those who persecute you. Those are things that pursue peace. And so why is this important? Because you're only as free as you can go deep in pursuing peace. How many of you know there are so many people that are weighed down and have no joy simply because they won't let go? Because they don't humble themselves and make peace. Because they won't humble themselves, go face to face with someone, have a real conversation, take ownership, and walk in forgiveness and grace. And because we don't do that, we get sideswiped in life. We get distracted, and we carry this weight with us wherever we go. And so the person, how many of you know, when you, and you maybe you've experienced this, where you were upset with someone and it's like they had no idea. Anybody? It's like it consumed your day. Right? If you saw someone in the morning, you're going to school and someone said something to you and you're mad all day, and you see them at lunch and they're just laughing and having fun with their friends. You offend people and someone offends you and they might be in church lifting their hands, singing to the Lord. How many of you know when we hold on to hate, it only burdens us? And so if you want to be free, we have to be people who are peacemakers, people that pursue peace. And so why do we need to be this way? Everybody say, because Jesus is this way. It's who he is. Notice it says, and the things by which one may edify another. How many of you know one of the easiest things that we can do is to criticize people when they're wrong? Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy to kick people when they're down. It's so easy to join in the chorus of your friends and point the finger and say, you're no good. It's easy to criticize people when they fall, but it is a gift from the Holy Spirit to see greatness in someone. When they are at their worst, yet the Holy Spirit and the Lord works through you and you see greatness even when they can't see it in themselves. How many of you know that is a blessed ability? And so when you edify someone, you're pursuing things that make for peace. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. How many of you know Jesus has reconciled us to him? Is Jesus a peacemaker? Did you know you were an enemy of God? But once you gave your life to him and he washed you clean, you are now a friend of God. How many of you know Jesus is in the business of making peace? He is in the business of reconciliation. The opposite of reconciliation is division. The opposite of Jesus is the demonic. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and notice this, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How many of you know, because you've been reconciled, you now have the ministry of reconciliation? It's to be a part of who you are. It's to be a part of your life. Verse 19 says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or putting it on them, their trespasses to them, and has committed to us. Everybody say me. Let's try that again. Everybody say me. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Everybody say this: I am called to bring reconciliation by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see here, the scriptures are committing us to the word of reconciliation, not division. Amen? It is always God's desire to bring reconciliation. That is always his heart. You might look at somebody and be like, that person could never, that person doesn't deserve reconciliation with God. How many of you know you didn't deserve reconciliation with God? Well, I'm not as bad as that person. That's not what it's about. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not one. Just Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus has reconciled us? Amen. Therefore, we should reconcile people. We need to be peacemakers, not division makers. And so, if we go through life and someone hurts you, and it will happen, amen? It's going to happen. People will wrong you. People will offend you. People will say negative things about you. And sometimes it's going to hurt, and sometimes it's really going to hurt. But if someone is to hurt me, I must choose to always keep this position of reconciliation in my heart. Now, there might be a mess that needs to be cleaned up because there was real hurt. Things were said, things were done, and trust needs to be restored. Amen. There is a process to this. But I'm never going to just throw somebody away. I don't need them in my life. I don't need to talk to them. I'm fine without them. How many of you know that's not the heart of God? Because Jesus didn't throw you away. And so we've all been called to the ministry of reconciliation. This is being called a peacemaker. Now listen to Romans 16, 17. It says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses. Some translations will say, mark them. This is strong language. This is the Bible. This is New Testament. It says, note those. It doesn't say hate those. What does it say? Note it. In other words, when there are people who have the tendency and are in the habit of causing division, I refuse to be a part of that. When a conversation starts to go in a specific direction, I'm going to try to steer that conversation or I'm just going to leave. Because division making is anti-God. It's not who he is. And so often in the church, we are so good at spiritualizing these things. You know, if I was that pastor, oh, I would just be sensitive to the Lord and I would never let that other person lead. Or we say things like, I just sense that the Holy Spirit isn't moving the way that he wants to. I wonder what's going on there. And a call and the check is this: is your heart really after making peace, or are you just trying to be right or prove something? Is there an agenda here? Is it, the only agenda should be peacemaking. Amen? This happens all the time. It's called division. It's satanic to the core, and it only leads to further darkness. It says, note those who cause divisions and offenses. This is important. Why are we talking about this? How many of you know you cannot live in the presence of God without understanding these truths? We want the presence of God in this place, then this needs to be a place of unity. You want church to be good? It's not actually about how much I prepare a sermon. It's not about the set list, the songs. Are we keeping peace with one another? Is there unity in the body? Is there a unity and an alignment between the body and Jesus that allows the anointing of the Spirit to flow freely? Amen?
And so we have to protect these things. We have to guard these things. We have to know these things so that his presence can flow freely. Listen to James chapter 3, verse 16. By the way, are we talking about the Beatitudes? Are we talking about things that Jesus thought was important? Should they be important to us? Amen. So is it okay that we talk about this today? Okay. Listen to James 3, 16. It says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, listen to this, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Do you see how important this is? Every evil work is present when we walk in jealousy and selfishness. When we start with something that we have to master, something that we need to be good at, and I hope that we can be good at as a church, is saying simply this, I am so glad God has blessed you. I am so glad that God is using you. Why? Because your breakthrough is mine. And so there's times where we can see people and maybe they get called and they're getting promoted in ministry and we think, why is God using them and not me? How many of you know that's not the right attitude? Or maybe we've been praying for 20 years for healing in our body and someone that doesn't even know the Lord yet gets healed in a moment. And we can look at the Lord and say, why, Lord, why not me? We need a mind change because your breakthrough is my breakthrough. As soon as you edify others and you adopt God's blessing in their lives, you sign up for breakthrough in your own life. And so if you need healing, celebrate with those who have received healing. If you need breakthrough in your family, celebrate those whose family loves the Lord. And say, I'm so glad that God is using your family. You need someone in your family to get saved? Celebrate those with those whose family are saved. Your breakthrough is my breakthrough. This is the kingdom, is it not? The world would say you need to look out for number one. The world would say you need to get yours. The world would say you need to make it happen for yourself or nobody's going to take care of you. But what does God say? No, you need to care for one another. As you celebrate others, you are signing up for breakthrough. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. How many of you know we must cast off jealousy and selfish ambition? We must refuse divisiveness. We must pursue the things that make for peace. And when we make peace, we gain a reputation of being a child of God. Amen? Is that good? I want to pray right now. Let's just bow our heads right now. And I want you just right now with your attention on the Lord. Just in your heart, look to the Lord from the depths of your heart. And ask him, Lord, would you search me? Lord, is there places of unforgiveness? Is there places of division? Have I said things about people? Have I said things about people that you've called? Have I been divisive? Have I been selfish and have I been jealous? And if you need to right now, just begin to repent. Just begin to confess that and say, Lord, I choose not to do that anymore. Forgive me. How many of you know he's so loving? He's here right now and he's saying, look, just repent and I will forgive. And if you're here and you've been bound to this and you cannot find joy in your own life because you've been holding onto what others have done to you, you've been comparing and looking at what other people have, Maybe you've been a part of the divisive conversations or perspectives. And the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. And that judgment has been a weight and a demonic presence in your life. I want to just say right now, just pray this with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every fallen thought, every lie, every dark perspective, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Self-promotion, jealousy. Holy Spirit, remind me how good you've been to me. Remind me of what you've pulled me out of. In Jesus' name. And let me pray this over you, Father. In the name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit begin to fall on every person. Forgive our judgment. Forgive the things that we've spoken against others. Forgive us for celebrating when our enemies have fallen. Forgive us for comparing, for walking in selfishness, jealousy, for not being peacemakers, but being divisive. Forgive us. Forgive our perspectives. Forgive us for walking in that division. Teach us, Lord, how to love our enemies. Just tell us, ask them that, Lord, say, teach me how to love my enemies. Lord, teach us how to bless those who persecute us and make us more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord for his word this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May we see the heart of Jesus, amen? When his word is brought, may we always see him. He changes everything, amen? And may we never be the same. We are dismissed. I did forget to remind everybody, so I have just one more thing. I did forget to remind everybody, next Sunday is Palm Sunday too, by the way. But next Sunday, after service, we are having our membership meeting. And so if you are not a member and you would like to be a member, if you feel like the Lord has called you to be here, we invite you to be a part of that. Or if you are a member, please come. But we have our membership meeting next week. That's going to be a time where we just review the year and the things that God has done. But that's also going to be a time where we share some of the things that we believe the Lord is leading us into. And there's some significant changes that we sense the Lord is asking of us. And so we want everybody to bring the Holy Spirit into this gathering. And we just want to do what the Lord's asking us to do. So we want to invite you to be there. Okay. If you don't get the newsletters, be sure to check your newsletters. There is a video in there with a video from myself, something that I want you to be praying for leading up to the membership meeting next week. And so if we could be praying and seeking the Lord, we just want his direction. Amen. Amen. This is his church. Amen. This is not just my church. This is your church. This is his church. Amen. And so we want what he has for us, okay? All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and stand together. Oh yeah, there will be lunch provided and childcare. Thank you, thank you. Anything else? We're good? Okay, let's stand. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in this place. We thank you for your work. Lord, I thank you by your spirit, you make us more like Jesus. That's all we want, and that is everything we need. We want more of you. And so, Lord, as we go from this place, may we go forth filled by your spirit, empowered by you to do the things that you've called us to do, to be peacemakers wherever we go, because that is who you are. That is your heart. And we long for more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you next week.